everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Yesterday on the episode, we talked a little bit about successful marriage tips. And if you didn't catch the episode, feel free to look at it on our website. It's archived under Mormon Channel Daily. You can always find the previous episodes archived there. I mention that because we actually have a new episode of Gospel Solutions for Families that's going to premiere Saturday at noon, and it's called Marriage Roles, and it's about understanding and implementing roles in marriage and family. And Elder Shane M. Bowen of the 70 and his wife, Lynette, are going to discuss the divine roles of marriage in that episode. And again, that premieres Saturday at noon. I came across a video on YouTube this week, and it's called Phil Hansen, Embrace the Shake, and it was filmed February 2013 and posted in May on TED Talks. And this is the story. In art school, Phil Hansen developed a tremor in his hand. He had enjoyed what is called pointillism art, and I wasn't sure what that was. So for those of you who are not as familiar, like I was not, I will tell you what I learned. Pointillism art is a technique of painting in which small, distinct dots of pure color are applied in patterns to form an image. So basically, in layman's terms, you make drawings with small, tiny dots, and it's really fascinating. So he develops this tremor in his hand, and he can't draw. He can't hold the pen still enough to make those little, tiny dots. And this was devastating to him and to his dream to become an artist. So he finally quits art school. And the caption on the side of the video says he just kind of floats around for 3 years, not really sure of what to do. But after 3 years, he misses it so much that he decides to see a neurologist who told him that he had permanent nerve damage and suggested to him to embrace the shake. So instead of quitting art, Phil decides to try new forms of art that he could paint where the shake didn't affect his work. For example, one of the things they show in the video is that he dips his feet in paint and he walks on the canvas. He found that if he did art on a larger scale with bigger materials, his hand didn't hurt. He says, "I could still make art. I just had to find a different approach to making the art I wanted." He says that embracing the limitation could actually drive creativity. He says, "Instead of finding a different way to continue that dream, I just quit. I gave up. What if I didn't embrace the shake?" Embracing the shake wasn't just about art and having art skills. It turned out to be about life and having life skills. Learning to be creative within the confines of our limitations is the best hope we have to transform ourselves and collectively to transform our world. Looking at limitations as a source of creativity changed the course of my life. I want to repeat that last line that he said because I really liked it. He says, "Looking at limitations as a source of creativity changed the course of my life." I asked myself after watching this video, how do we make weak things become strong? Or something that we consider a limitation, how do we make that become a strength? It's easier said than done. But Phil sets a really great example of thinking outside the box and thinking, what can I do to change this? What can I do to make this better than what it is? Yes, I can't hold my pen really still, but I have other options, other things that I can do to still express myself in terms of art. But he just had to be kind of creative about it. And the fun part about it is they actually, on this video that I was watching, they show some of his art, and it's really great. He's a great artist. Even with this limitation, he can still create beautiful things. So I'm really glad that he didn't give up. And I think we probably all have something like that, some limitation or something that we see as hindering us. But if we kind of think outside the box, it could actually become a strength to us. I have another story that I wanted to share with you, and it's called Making Weak Things Become Strong. It's from The Ensign, 2004. From Anne C. Pingree, and she was the second counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. And I want to share this with you in her own words, and it's the story of a girl named Jackie, and I'm going to play that for you now.
A little girl named Jackie faced a devastating weakness that deeply affected her life, an inability to read. For years, she experienced daily rejection and humiliation. She said, I was in second grade, and already I knew I was dumb. I just didn't ever really catch on to reading. Day after day and year after year, the humiliation continued. Jackie said, I was either told directly I was stupid, or was asked, Haven't I already told you that 1,000 times? She was labeled lazy and a daydreamer. Comments like these, she said, caused me such emotional stress that it was like having a curtain drawn across my mind. Being called upon to read aloud in class was excruciating. Even when I knew the words, I could not say them, she recalled. Tears would well up in my eyes and blur the page. Soon Jackie learned to cover for her weakness or avoid situations that would reveal her dreaded secret. When she and her friends visited the local library, she followed their lead in checking out popular mystery books. But even though she carried the books home, she could never read them or join in her friends' lively discussions about the characters and plots. She also found herself failing nearly every subject in school. Finally, at age 15, she decided to drop out of school and get married. This decision could have led to more serious problems and a permanent detour from learning. Instead, through the loving, ongoing encouragement of her husband, the watchful care of the Lord, and her own determination, things began to change. My husband has been my lifesaver, she explained. He always treated me like I was the smartest person he ever saw. Many years later, this mother of 8 children graduated from high school, 1 year before her eldest daughter. Jackie continued her education beyond high school, but each day was a struggle. I cried every day it was so hard, she said. Her husband gave her priesthood blessings, and a daughter tutored her in algebra, leaving her little notes of encouragement. In faith, Jackie turned to the Lord and prayed for his help. Finally, after years of effort, she received a college degree at age 50. Her weakness ultimately became a great strength as she pursued a career path that became a great blessing to others also struggling to read. The little girl who once thought she was too dumb to read now directs a statewide program that helps children with reading difficulties. The challenging process of facing and overcoming our weaknesses can refine us, make us more profitable servants, and bring us closer to the Savior.
I really like that story. I love how she turns her weakness, which is, of course, being able to read, into a huge strength. And not only a strength for herself, but she directs a statewide program now that helps children with reading difficulties. That's impressive. One of my other favorite parts of the story is that it's her husband who brings out this courage and this confidence in helping her to do this. She says, My husband has been my lifesaver. He always treated me like I was the smartest person he ever saw. I think that speaks volumes on how we treat other people and the difference that it can make. If we treat them like we want them to be or to become, then that's the way they're going to act. It's a good reminder for me personally to see people as they can become and not necessarily how they are right now. I know I've been grateful for people that have seen the good in me or have believed in me in different situations in my life. That really has given me personally a lot of strength and confidence that I can achieve and become successful in life. Just one quick personal example. My mother is my very best friend, and I remember when I was in 7th grade, that's junior high here in Utah, I was in an accelerated math class, and I was really struggling. We got our first exams back from the class, and mine was really low. I don't even remember what it was, but I remember it was really low, and I was mortified to take it home because I thought I was going to get in really big trouble. So I took it home and I showed her and I said, this is my grade for this test that we just took. And she said something that I will never forget. She said, all I want you to do is do the very best you can do and I will be happy. That one phrase of instruction from my mother literally changed the entire course of my life. From that moment on, I knew that I didn't have to be perfect. Not that she ever expected me to be perfect, but I think I had put that on myself, that I had to reach this level of, I had to be perfect in all my classes and get perfect grades. But I knew after that, that as long as I tried my very hardest, she would be pleased with me. So long story short is I went and met with my teacher and I asked him to explain these math concepts to me, which he did, and the light went on. I got it. All these things that I had been struggling with, I just needed him to spend a little bit of one-on-one time with me, and I was fine. And from then on, math became one of my greatest strengths. I was always good at math in high school and college after that. I mentioned that story. Well, actually, it's not even on my script. I just kind of added this one in today because I thought it seemed like it might be a good one to share. So I'm hoping that there's someone out there who's benefiting from this. But the point of that story is that it was the encouragement of my mother saying, I just want you to do the very best you can do, and then I'll be happy. It was that one piece of advice and encouragement that literally shaped my whole education going forward in school and even my performance in the different jobs that I've had growing up and even now. We might be the one who is the giver of that encouragement. Think what it could do to our families, to our friendships, if we offer that kind of encouragement to someone and say, hey, I believe in you. I know you can do this. It just might shape someone's life for the better and point them on an entirely different road. And of course, the ultimate person who can help us overcome all of our weaknesses and all of our challenges is the Savior. There's nothing that we can experience that he hasn't gone through or that he doesn't understand. And he can be that person for us every day of our lives if we just ask him. He is our very, very best friend. With that, it's time to close, but I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The song of the day that I want to leave you with today is called Only the Brokenhearted, featuring Sherry Call. Thanks again for being with us. Have a great day and a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to being back with you on Monday. Who can hear your sorrow? Who can listen right? Who can tell your starshine through the darkest and the longest lonely night? Only the brokenhearted can. Who can feel the fire? Who can taste the rain? Who can laugh till tears fall? Who can know your pain and take your hand? Only the brokenhearted can. How are you gonna take a stand? How are you gonna hear the bend? How are you gonna love the sunlight if those precious summer days never had to end? You have to learn like only the brokenhearted can. Hearts are deeper, they've been open wide, and the tears become containers to hold more love inside and truly feel what only the brokenhearted can. If you need a shoulder, bow your head and pray, and he'll wrap you like a blanket with love to face the day. Because he knows, like only the brokenhearted can, how are you gonna comprehend love that has no end? Why'd you ever have to leave Eden if you were never truly meant to hold?
Who can tell you starshine through the darkest lonely night? You know I can, like only the brokenhearted can. Brokenhearted can. Ooh, only the brokenhearted can.